You're listening to Dwelling Place Church Podcast.
Come full circle. Anybody in a journey right now that seems kind of incomplete? Anybody want to raise their hand? You know, something like, I don't know if you guys are this way, but sometimes in life, something just seems off. You feel that way sometimes, Deanna? Something just seems a little off. The reason that you may feel that way is your current season of life has not come full circle. Or maybe another way to put it is there's more to the story. Now, George, how old are you? 80-something? 87? 87. Now, if you ever think about this in life, David Blackford, how old are you, David? 61. You know, when you've walked in life for a little while, we know in life sometimes you can be at the beginning of something, in the middle, but eventually you come to the end. You come full circle. So no matter where you're at in your journey right now, just know this. Philippians 1:6 says this, "And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." So I want to show you a story in the Bible that I think is going to speak into your life and bring you hope. How many of you need some hope tonight? You know, you've probably heard the term before. As Christians, we're not dope dealers, we're hope dealers. And I think when you realize that, the thing is, it is funny, but people use dope to try to change their circumstances, how they feel. But see, when we're able to bring the Holy Spirit to them, we bring them hope. That's what the Word of God does. Anytime you listen to a message, know that the Holy Spirit is trying to bring you hope. 2 Kings 4, 8 through 10 says, "One day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat." Now, I want to show you something in the New Testament, just to show you sometimes the power of God is passing by us. And the question is, do we recognize it? The disciples were in a storm on the sea. Jesus, it says, would have passed them by. Remember the story? They thought he was a ghost. But they cried out to him, and the storm ceased. Then there's another story of a blind beggar who's begging, "Heal me, heal me." And Jesus is passing by, and he heals him. And you'll know the story also of the woman with the issue of blood. She reaches out to touch the hem of his garment as he's passing by. Here's the thing I want to say to you. When the power of God is passing by you, I don't care if you have to reach out, beg, or cry out. Just know that he can work in your life. Actually, the scripture says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. But see, when you're in the beginning or middle of a journey, sometimes you start to lose hope and you forget that you're a child of the King. And as a child of the King, we don't have to beg. He's there for us. But sometimes, who feels like you got to be in a begging stage? You got to cry out. You got to reach out. So she said to her husband, "I'm sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by." How many women in here like a nice home with a bed, a table, a lamp, a chair, some diamonds? And all the women said, amen. Amen. See, sometimes you got to go off script just a little bit just to get the women back on there. But see, I think the thing is that what I love about this woman, and I think we do this. See, when you came tonight, you're making room for God. You're building him a room, just like she did. And the more you do that, he can move in your life. And you'd be amazed sometimes that one little simple thing can change everything. Me and Ray were talking before service, and I had a bottle of contact lens liquid And I was getting ready to adjust my contact, and he goes, "What do you have in there?" We're kind of joking, because we're both used to be alcoholics and drug addicts and stuff. And I said, "Well, 20 years ago, I probably would have had something else in there, if you know what I mean." But the thing is, to look at life now, it's funny. I used to waste so much time trying to get high or to get drunk. And you'd hide it in bottles, and you'd hide it in closets, and you'd hide it everywhere. The question is, do we spend that much time seeking him? Are we making room for him in our lives? Elisha was so moved by her generosity, he asked his assistant Gehazi to say to her, "What can I do for you?" So I think the question the Lord wants to say to you is, "What can I do for you?" So she had no son. Her husband's a little bit older. And in verse 16, Elisha says, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." How many people love the promises of God? "This time next year, you shall embrace a son." I'll prophesy this to you, and I'm not a prophet. This time next year, your life will look much different than it does today. So her desire had been fulfilled, and it looks like the story's over, but there's more to the story. You ever notice when you're in the middle of a story, you're just like, man, I don't know about you guys, but we've been in a season, me and Suzanne, where it feels like it never, ever, ever ends. Anybody have any financial struggles right now? Okay, I'll be completely transparent. Now, all our bills are paid. I have a dollar, either 83 or 88 in the bank. But let me tell you this real quick. Everybody like, dang, that boy broke. But we need to get somebody else up there preaching. But I was telling Pastor Steve and Matt before service that I'm a medical salesman, and a big contract that got canceled almost a year ago, which was all my income. A guy that I met with a couple days later, he's a representative for one of the branches of that company. I hadn't heard from him in a long time, and he actually reached out to me today. Yeah. But here's the thing, it's interesting. He is one of the top salesmen in this company. This company does about $1 billion a year. And he contacted me. He said, "Hey, Steve, I just wanted to ask how things are going with you. I'm concerned I may lose my job." So I just told him, I said, "Well, I'll say this to you. In the last year, God has shown me that," and I'm sure a lot of you can speak to this because we all have different jobs and we're in different markets, "that there's all kind of work out there." And I said, "You'd be highly valued by a lot of companies." But after I got off the phone with him, I thought, I had more peace with $1.83 or $1.88 in the bank than this guy did probably making $150,000 to $200,000 a year, because he's living in fear. See, if you're living right now in fear because of your finances, let me tell you this. The supernatural being that controls your finances is our Father, God. So don't let anyone ever try to put you in a trap of feeling fearful that you're going to lose your money. The enemy wants us to think that he's going to take things from us. Nothing that happens to us, if we're in God's will, nothing can happen to us until it goes through his hands first. You ever get to a point in your life and you say, all is good, like this woman, she getting ready to have a baby, so she's loving life. I think Suzanne felt that way when she married me. She's like, all is good. Good Father is who you are. Yeah. She was singing, hallelujah. Oh, man. She gave me that look like, no, baby, ain't going to happen. But you know what I mean? Like, what happened? Oh, yeah. Touche, very good. That has become my very, very good friend. Well, that just totally threw me off. Wow. But, you know, this lady probably felt the same way. A promise had come to pass. But as I said, there's more to the story. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. One day when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters. So obviously they were in a time of harvest. Suddenly he cried out, "My head hurts, my head hurts." His father said to one of the servants, carry him home to his mother. Now, how many women know that sounds like a dad? He'll be okay. Let mom take care of it. And all the women said, amen. And all the women said, because if a guy's watching a football game, they don't care if that kid's dying, right? And all the men said, amen. Especially if it's the last 2 minutes or overtime. I've had my daughters for them, daddy, my stomach's hurting. Like, hold on, baby. They're going to throw a touchdown pass. I just know it's going to happen. Veronica's over like, man, he's bad, dad. Yeah. So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap, but around noontime, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. So her dream or her desire is now dead. What do you do when your dream seems dead? See, it doesn't matter how old you are. I know Myrna, 93, right? Just turned 93. Merle, how old? 86. Myrna, you're robbing the cradle. Come on. Come on. But here's the thing. Whether you're 93, 86, 16, 15, 18, 50, I'm 53, it doesn't matter. When you feel like your dream is dead, it's hard to get up in the morning. I always say this about the great thing about the Holy Spirit. The enemy a lot of times wants to choke things out of us. So when you allow the Holy Spirit to move in you, you ever had a time where you went swimming and you dive down and you're in the deep, you know, deep end of the pool, and then you come up, and the first thing you do when you come up, you go, all of a sudden you take a breath. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does to us, no matter what our circumstances are. Sometimes you just have to stop and go, it's okay. It's okay. You know, the thing is that what I love about this woman is that she had such faith that she laid her dead son on the bed of the man of God. Because God can resurrect any dead thing, just ask our King, Jesus Christ. So I want to say this to you when you feel like you can't breathe sometimes. The devil can't kill you, so he tries to contain you. See, the devil didn't know the worst mistake he ever made was crucifying Jesus Christ. We know his demons and the demonic were behind that, not realizing that God had a bigger plan. See, the devil has a little plan. God has a bigger plan. So he thought that he was crucifying him, but how many people know that when a seed falls into the ground, what happens? And it brings a harvest. And the harvest just keeps coming and coming and coming. So the devil can't kill you. Even physically, if you die, we never really die. Because you're either going to go and spend eternity in heaven or in hell. But you never really die. 2 Kings 4:32 through 35. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then stretched himself out again on the child. This time the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. My oldest daughter that was just up here, she's been dealing with skin issues. So as I was doing this sermon over the last couple of weeks, I think it was probably 5 or 6 days ago, it just shows you can actually type up a sermon and still not get it right. And I said, you know, the story I'm teaching on, I think he laid on him 7 times. I didn't realize it was only twice. But he sneezed 7 times. So I told her, I said, how about the next 7 nights, I'll lay on top of you and pray. Now, I wasn't putting my weight on her completely. Now, it was a little weird because I'd have my face on her face and she'd start laughing and all that kind of stuff. But what happened is after about 3 days, when she'd come home in the afternoon, she'd say, hey, Daddy, tonight's day number 4. So I think we're on number 5 or 6. But here's the great thing about number 7. He sneezed 7 times. 7 means completeness or perfection. See, her dream is alive again. See, if your dream feels dead, that's okay, because we serve perfection. God has completed his work, but as they say, there's more to the story. At times, God will allow us to be in a journey that seems like it will never come full circle. Never allow that to stop you from claiming his promises. I want to show you a video clip. How many of you have heard of Steve Harvey? Yeah. And what this clip is he talks about a moment in his life where he's just like, I don't think I can do this anymore. And just kind of how God, he doesn't talk about God, but I've heard him talk about God before. I've heard him talk about Jesus Christ. But he talks about God start moving, or things start moving in his life, and how things kind of come full circle. So we're going to watch that, and then I'll finish.
Someone would have soap on them, and I'd soap myself up. Then I would go out, and I would get another handful and wet them down, and I'd come and I'd take the soap off with them. Well, I got soaked up, but a convention was in town, and they had let out for breakfast. And so for 45 minutes, it was just a parade of men coming in that bathroom. And I'd take it off my clothes to get lathered up. And all of a sudden, this soap is drying. I just let the lid down, and I set some towels down. I just started crying. And the guy heard me in there. He said, hey, sir, are you okay? I said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. But I was done at that point. I said, that's it, man. I can't do this anymore. I called my mom's answering machine first. And it was a message from Chuck Sutton, who's passed now, the great Chuck Sutton. He said, hey, Steve, this is Chuck Sutton from Showtime at the Apollo. We saw a tape of you and was wondering, man, it was a great tape. You're really funny. We have an opening for you this Sunday night. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. If you could just get here, we'll put you on the show on television, man. You're very funny. Let us know if you can make it. Boop. And it goes off. And I went, wow. As soon as I went, wow. My heart sunk. Because now how do I get to New York? I got $35, man. I don't have enough to make it to New York. There's no way. The one time I could finally get on TV and I can't even get to the gig. I'm in Pensacola, Florida. I got to get to Harlem, New York. I don't have no money. I can't eat. I don't have a place to stay. So I sat in my car, tears just running down my face, man. I said, this has got to be the worst joke I've ever heard. I said, no, let me call back and make see if he said Sunday. So I called right back. Doop, it was this Sunday. And I got ready to hang up, and then I heard, doop, you have another message. Hey, Steve, this is Tom Sobel from the Comedy Caravan. I got a gig that's available in Florida tomorrow night, which is Friday night. I got $150 for you if you can get there. Friday night, it's Thursday. I'm 100-some miles away. Yeah, man. So I get in the car, I drive, I do the gig. The guy pays me $150. He said, man, you were so good. I'll cancel the guy Saturday night. Would you stay Saturday night? He gave me $300 to stay for Saturday. I had $475. I called Chuck Sutton. I said, I'll be there. Got at the Apollo Theater at 2 o'clock, and I went out there, and I got a standing ovation. I'm Steve Harvey, and I got to get out of here. We don't have to get time. greatest moment of my life up until that point. I had killed at the world famous Apollo Theater. And I was it. I was on TV.
I love hearing people's stories. You know, you see him on shows like Little Big Shots now, and you think, man, look at all that fame. But always remember, behind fame, there's pain. Second Kings 8, 1 and 2. Elisha had told the woman whose son he had brought back to life, take your family and move to some other place, for the Lord has called for a famine on Israel that will last for 7 years. So the woman did as the man of God instructed. She took her family and settled in the land of the Philistine for 7 years. Here's the great thing. When you're in the will of God, he will even cause your enemies to provide for you. Everything this woman had been through, now she's going to be in a 7-year famine. Anyone feel like they've been in a 7-year famine? And I'm not talking about your marriage. Come on. Hallelujah. I just thought I'd throw that in. Ray's turning around and snuggles going, man, I would never say that to you, baby. I'm telling you, never. Oh, by the way, all the married men, all you got to do right now to really get your wife on your side is go, I am not like that guy at all. Oh, the couch is back up again. Oh, man, I'm so slow. But the thing that's great is she listens to the voice of God through Elisha, and she follows the instructions. I'm sure you've probably picked this up on this by now, but Elisha really is a picture of the Holy Spirit inside of us. So how can you hold on when things seem to keep falling apart? If you take, for example, the Apostle Paul, who had many blessings, he had amazing miracles happen. He, you know, cloths would be touched by him. They'd be laid on people and they would be healed. But he also says that Paul went to the third heaven, but he also prayed 3 times for a thorn in the flesh to be removed, and it wasn't. So I'll say this to you. If you want to experience the third heaven, sometimes you got to walk through hell. So Paul went through all that, but Paul, which is blessings, but he also had burdens of shipwrecks and beatings and jail. 2 Kings 8, 3 through 6. After the famine ended, she returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went in to see the king about getting back her house and her land. As she came in, the king was talking with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. The king had just said, tell me some stories about the great things Elisha has done. And Gehazi was telling the king about the time Elisha had brought a boy back to life at that very moment. See, tonight could be your moment. Tonight could be your turnaround. As she's walking up, the very moment, the mother of the boy walked in to make her appeal to the king about her house and land. See, God is always on time, never late. Just like that answering machine, Steve Harvey. We all have an answering machine. The question is, are we listening? And Shemaine said, amen. How many women talk to their man sometimes and go, are you really listening? Are you really listening? And the answer to that is no. You guys ready for the last part of this? All right. Got to throw in those wife jokes while I can. Kim's back here. She's like, don't do it. Don't stop. Don't do it. Look, my lord the king, Gehazi explained, here's the woman now, and this is her son, the very one Elisha brought back to life. See, God's with us no matter what. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that a promise? You ever read the Bible sometimes like when you read things like, he'll never leave you or forsake you? But then have you ever, at the same moment, I remember one time sitting in our living room in our, we have a fireplace that is in between 2 rooms. So at the top, it actually looks like a cross. And I was just we were going through a terrible time. This was years ago. And I looked up and I kind of thought about that verse. But at the same time, I was like, God, are you really like still around? You remember when the guy asked for his, I think it was his son. I can't remember if it was his son or daughter to be healed. And he said, God, help me with my unbelief. He goes, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. See, sometimes in your doubt, that actually shows that you know God, because you can't doubt what you don't know. And I think sometimes the longer we walk with the Lord, or even if you're a new Christian, we doubt what we can't see. But I can't see love, but I know my wife loves me, and I know I love her. Is this true? The king asked, and she told him the story. So he directed one of his officials to see that everything she had lost was restored to her, including the value of the crops that had been harvested during her absence. God will restore everything and more. He is a God of abundance. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want everyone to stand up. We're going to put our hands to the king. And the king is a God of abundance. And I don't believe no matter what it is in your life that you need right now, put your hands up to him because he loves you and he wants to provide for you. Lord, I just thank you for these beautiful people. I thank you for this, the abundance that you have for them. Lord, I just ask that they realize.